it's prayer day. And you need to know that there are prayer warriors praying for every member of this church by name. And they're also praying during our service today for the outpouring of the Spirit. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask the technician to put on the screen a book. I want to introduce you to a book that goes more in detail today. It's entitled Steps to Personal Revival. All I can do is just hit the surface just a little bit. But if you get this book, it will go into more detail and talk about prayer and the Holy Spirit. I highly recommend you getting the book. It's only $2. You could download it for free. And there's the website that you can download it on. But I think that it'd be much more beneficial for you just to get the book. You can order it through the 800 number. It's on the screen too as well. If you try to download it, you have a lot of paper that you're going to have to print out. And it's worth getting the book for $2. So I encourage you to get that book, Step to Personal Revival. It will open your eyes and help us to get ready for the second coming. And it's going to be a blessing to you. Having said that, I'd like you to open your Bibles or your phones to the book of Matthew. What book did I say, everybody? Yeah. Matthew. And I want to look at chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is talking about what it takes to get to the kingdom. This is one of his sermons that he's preaching about getting ready for the kingdom. Matthew 25, I trust that you all have it. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 13, and I'm going to pay emphasis on some of the words there in this parable. I trust that you all have it. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Listen to this. He says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the Bible says, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" I've entitled my message this morning, Emergency Oil. Do you have it? Let's pray. Father, I want to first of all thank you for Jesus Christ, who you gave so that we could live. And then I want to thank you for the opportunity to share the word. I want to thank you for the saints that have come to the church and also via Zoom to hear the word. I understand that I of myself can do nothing, but everything happens through you. So we're praying now for the Holy Spirit to come by here and do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Give us that which we stand in need of. And when it's all said and done, nobody will take the credit, but we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Thank you in advance for hearing and answering our prayer. In the name of Jesus, let the church say, amen. You may have read this some time ago, but a few years ago, there were six men trapped in a cave in Southwest Virginia. They had planned to camp in the cave just a few days. However, there was a heavy downpour of rain that made conditions muddy and wet. Now they can't get out. And to make bad matters worse, the temperature underground was in the 50s, which can cause hypothermia, and one can die from the cold. The thing that got my attention in this story was that the group did not have a lot of extra stuff. They didn't have extra food, extra water, or heavy clothing for this unexpected emergency. They had not prepared for the emergency. I guess they thought they would go in, camp a few nights, and come back out. However, one of the men was able to get out, but the remaining five couldn't. And I submit to you that if that one person had not gotten out and called 911, all of them would have died simply because they didn't bring extra stuff. They didn't think they needed it. Well, I got news for you. We are headed for an emergency, and many will be lost because they have not prepared by having extra. In our passage today, Jesus is talking about what it takes to make it to the kingdom and the experience that we must have just before he returns. He's talking about the church because in verse 1 of our passage, he refers to the 10 virgins. Now, virgins represent those who profess a pure faith. The lamps represent the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Psalms 119, verse 105. The oil, don't miss this one. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, verses 1 through 6. Something that you don't want to miss. All 10 virgins are church folks. And for a while, you could see no difference in them. They all believed in the 10 commandments. They all came to church on Sabbath. They all followed the 8 laws of health. They all practiced dress reform, and the list goes on. They did everything that was required of them. And then all of them had oil in their lamp. They received the first level of the Holy Spirit, which is conviction, conversion, and water baptism. But having the first level of experience with the Holy Spirit is not enough. You have to have all 3 levels, especially if you're alive when Jesus comes. So let me explain to you what those 3 experience levels is with the Holy Spirit. Level 1 is the new birth. That's conversion. Level 2 is the early rain, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Level 3 is receiving the latter rain. And I want to point out, there's a difference. Listen to this. There's a difference between receiving the Spirit at baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the early rain. See, one of the purposes of the early rain is to experience Christ more fully in the life. It's a special infilling of the Holy Spirit who transforms us and has been available since Pentecost. So once again, how many levels of experience did I say that we have to have with the Holy Spirit, everybody? 3. And many of us have not gotten past level 1. Now watch this. All of the virgins had oil in their lamps. They had the initial level 1 experience with the Holy Spirit. But verse 4 says that the wise had a vessel in addition to their lamp where they put in extra oil. Verse 3 says that the foolish didn't have any extra oil. They were satisfied with what they had. Didn't think they were going to need any more. In fact, they thought that what they had would get them into the marriage feast. Well, those foolish virgins represent Laodiceans who, period, we're living in, who are satisfied with their spiritual condition. Don't think they need anything else. Been content with a superficial work. Don't know they're messed up inside. Have not experienced a level 2 early rain where the Holy Spirit comes in and transforms them. No extra oil. Destitute of the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, they talk about God, but don't really know him. Have not studied his character. Have not had deep communion with him. They pray, but it's just form and superficial. The class represented by the foolish virgins, they're not hypocrites. They have a regard for the truth. They've advocated the truth, attracted to those who believe the truth. But they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit's working. Have not fallen on the rock, Christ Jesus, and permitted their own nature to be broken. They are stony ground hearers, receive the word with readiness, but fail to assimilate its principles. Its influence is not abiding in the heart. Listen to what the servant of the Lord says in volume 1 of the testimonies, page 305-6. Listen to this. She says, I was shown that merely observing the Sabbath and praying morning and evening are not positive evidences that we are Christians. I'm going to read that again because you missed it. Listen to this. I was shown that merely observing the Sabbath and praying morning and evening are not positive evidences that we are Christian. These outward forms may be strictly observed, yet true godliness be lacking. End of quote. There has not been, friends, godly character development. You see, the goal of the gospel is transformation. The goal of the gospel is what, everybody? Transformation. And many of us have not been transformed. Oh yeah, we talk about transformation, but have not experienced it. Understand something. The only thing we're taking to heaven is our character, which has to be transformed into God's image before he comes. And that happens through receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the early rain, which has been available since Pentecost and is the extra oil. Something that we have to keep in mind is that character is not transferable. When the foolish realized their emergency, they asked the wise, give us some of your oil. And the wise said, no way. You have to get it for yourself. Friends, the Holy Spirit is available to everyone, but we have to want him and desire him. We have to ask for him. And Luke 11:13 that we read for our scripture this morning says, if we ask, the Father will give us the Holy Spirit. That's a promise. So, but we got to ask for him. We got to want him. And the asking has to be on an individual basis. Yes, we can pray together and ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but salvation is an individual work. I can't save you, and you can't save me. I can't save my family, and you can't save your family. It's an individual work. So now, individually, we must allow him to come in. Individually, we must cooperate with him. Individually, we must surrender to him moment by moment. Individually, he cuts out the bad fruit and replaces it with good fruits. By the way, Galatians 5 tells us about the fruits of the Spirit, which we all must possess before Christ returns. Therefore, when we do that, the Holy Spirit now, watch this, everybody, don't miss this. The Holy Spirit now becomes a transforming power in the life of a believer by implanting in our hearts the principles of God's word, which we are to ingest daily. It's the Holy Spirit who develops in us the attributes of God. How many times have we tried to be good and we failed? How many times have we tried to obey God and we failed? Well, see, we've been looking at the wrong thing. We've been looking at ourselves instead of looking to the Holy Spirit. See, you can't transform yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can transform us. And we need more of him. Let me just say this very quickly. The devil has gotten the church to be afraid to discuss the Holy Spirit. We have equated the Holy Spirit with jumping over pews and speaking in tongues, and we're afraid to talk. But it's the Holy Spirit, friends, who's going to get us ready for the second coming. It's the Holy Spirit, friends, that is doing the work of transformation. It's the Holy Spirit, friends, that's going to restore us back into the image of God. We were created in God's image. Satan came and defaced that image. Christ came to restore that image. And after now he's in the most holy place, he sends the Holy Spirit in his fullness to complete the work that God has started in us, but it's through the Holy Spirit. There is no good thing in us. There is nothing that can make us perfect. Oh yes, we may do good works, but there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves holy. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves perfect. It's through the Holy Spirit that transforms us. It's through the Holy Spirit that completes us. And we need to have the Holy Spirit more fully in our lives. So that's why we need to be praying for level 2 of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that book that I referred to you earlier has all the details in terms of how you make that happen. But as I go on, when the wise virgins told the foolish to go buy for themselves, the foolish went, but it was too late, and the door was shut. Friends of mine, I stop by to tell you that probation is almost over. The signs tell us that we're near the end. Soon and very soon, the door will be shut in the most holy place. Let me just take a few moments, as this is not in my notes, but let me just take a few moments to let you know, or to remind us all, what's supposed to be happening right now during the investigative judgment, which is going on right now. Christ has moved from the holy to the most holy place. And he's going over every name that has ever confessed Christ to see if they're still in line with him. And one of the things that's supposed to happen, we're supposed to be praying, weeping between the porch and the altar. We're supposed to be doing self-examination and looking at ourselves to see what's still in us. And as we still see the stuff that's in us, then we give it to Christ, who is still in the most holy place, and we beg Christ, Lord, take this thing from me. It's unlike you, Lord. I can't get rid of it myself. I need you. And as we pray for that, he gives us the power through the Holy Ghost to eliminate that stuff out of our lives, so that when he comes out of the most holy place, our characters are refined. Our characters have been fixed. And when he comes out, he says, "He that is filthy, let him stay that way. He that is just, let him stay that way. He that is holy, let him stay that way." There is no turning back. And when he comes out, the door is shut. It will be too late to get those traits of character that are needed for heaven. Our characters will be fixed for eternity. So I stop by to tell you, we cannot be satisfied with where we are spiritually. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. There is no stopping place. I don't care how long you've been in the church. God's not through with any of us yet, including the preacher. Enoch was in the church 65 years, and the Bible says, then he walked with God. We can be in the church all of our lives and not walk with God. I stopped by to tell you this morning that spirituality is more than just coming to church and having your name on the roll. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, having Christ as a daily companion and a familiar friend, living in close contact and constant communion with God. And I submit to you, we all need a closer walk with God. We all need that extra oil, that second and third level experience with the Holy Spirit. In the parable, the coming of the bridegroom came at a time that was unexpected. Midnight. They had expected him earlier, but there was a delay. And because of the delay, they went to sleep. Well, friends, the Lord should have been here a long time ago, but because of the delay, the church has gone to sleep. We've become relaxed. Think that we have a whole lot of time to get ready, but I got news for you. It's later than you think. Look at the signs. Look what's happening around the world. It's just terrible, and it's going to get worse, as Revelation 7 will predict, that God is slowly withdrawing his spirit from the earth, and he's going to let Satan have all his way. And if we are not sealed, we're in trouble. It's later than you think. It's time to wake up, time to tighten up, time to watch, time to be on alert. For in such an hour as you think not, Jesus will be here, and most of us will not be ready. Why? Because we have not prepared with the extra oil of the Holy Spirit. We're still the same. Has not been much change in our lives, and I submit to you that it's time for a change. We can't change ourselves. Only God can change us. And all we have to do is just cooperate with him by daily surrender, moment by moment. And he has promised in Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you will finish it. Ellen White has a dream. It's found in First Selected Messages, pages 109 and 10. Now watch this dream. In this dream, there was a guard standing at the door of an important building. And everybody who tried to come into the building, he asked this one question: have you received the Holy Ghost? A measuring line was in his hand, and only very, very few were admitted into the building. He went on to say, your size as a human being means nothing. But if you had reached the full stature of a person in Christ Jesus, you will receive an appointment to sit with Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He goes on to say, you may be tall, well-proportioned in self, good-looking, but you can't come in here. None can come in here who are still grown-up children, carrying with them the disposition of children, their disposition, their habits, their characteristics, which like children. If you have nurtured suspicions, criticism, temper, self-dignity, you can't come in. Those who educate themselves to pick flaws in the characters of others reveal a deformity. Your leaven of distrust, your want of confidence, your power of accusing closes you against the door of admittance. You cannot see the king in his beauty if you're not a representative of his character. When you give up your own will, give up your own wisdom, and learn of Christ, you will find admittance into the kingdom of God. Friends, as I close, that's a very sobering dream. And I want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But in order for that to happen, I have to allow the Holy Spirit to finish the work in me. How many of you want God to finish the work in you and understand that you can't finish the work. But if you give the Holy Spirit permission, he will finish the work in you. How many of you want God to finish the work in you through the Holy Spirit? How many of you understand that in order for that to happen, you need the extra oil of the Holy Spirit now, that level 2 baptism of the Holy Spirit now? And if you understand that, how many of you want that extra oil and will ask for him on a daily basis and surrender to him daily, moment by moment? If that's your desire, just raise your hand. Incidentally, if you have a hard time surrendering, ask God to help you to be willing, and he will. I just want to close with this. There may be those of you who are in the church but have not made that full commitment and you want to come back. If that's your desire, just raise your hand. And then there may be those of you who may be listening on the line or maybe even in the congregation who have never made Christ your personal Savior and you want to do that now. If that's your desire, just raise your hand right now. And then contact the pastor and he'll get in touch with you. I want to suggest that we're near the end, friends. We're near the end. And we need to make our calling and election sure. We need to stop playing church. We need to stop thinking that we're ready for translation, and we're not. And I'm going to give you a personal testimony. I've been preaching the gospel for over 40 years. And when I look at myself, I see so much that still is unlike Christ. And I want to challenge each and every one of you who are listening to me today. If you think that you got it all together and you're ready for translation, I want to direct you to Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24 that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and lead me to the way everlasting." I submit to you that if you ask God to show you yourself, he will. As a matter of fact, that's what we need to be doing now. We need to be doing what is called self-examination. We don't have time to look at anybody else. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, Lord. I need help. And when we do this on a daily basis and see ourselves, we're not to get discouraged, but all we need to do is just give it to Christ, who is in the most holy place now, who will take that stuff from us and make us pure and holy. And this needs to be done on a day-by-day basis. My prayer to you is that if I don't have an opportunity to see you again, I want to see each and every one of you in the earth made new, wearing the white garments that Christ has given us, because you have allowed him to make you pure within. May God bless you. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. Had to rush through this because of our time limitation. But I pray that the words have been seeds that have been sown to help us to show our need and to show us where our help cometh. Help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And even though Jesus has done his part, he now sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to do his part. And his job is to help us to have that closer walk and to transform us and to purify us. Help us to cooperate with him. Help us to surrender to him. And help us to allow him to do the work in us that needs to be done. And if we never have the opportunity to come together like this again, help us so live our lives and so surrender that we may meet each other with you in the earth made new, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let the church say, amen.